Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show and podcast on, this is podcast 836A. You would have tuned in on either iHeart or RadioMD or ShareCare.com. Wherever you got us, please do rate us. And this is going to be what I look forward to, a great interview, because our guest is wonderful. Dr. Joseph Pizzarno is really one of the founders of the toxin concerns in the country, has done a great deal of work on it, and he's put it all together in a book. He's not a virgin book author, because he is co-author of the best-selling The Encyclopedia of Natural Medicine. He's also the founder of Bastyr University. It's not because he's the guy he named it after is a bastard or anything like that, but it is Dr. Joseph Bastyr, I think, is the person he named it after. But this book is called The Toxin Solution. The Toxin Solution, How Hidden Poisons in the Air, Water, Food, and Products We Use Are Destroying Our Health and What We Can Do to Fix It. We're going to ask what each of us can do to fix it. Dr. Pizzarno, thanks for coming on. By the way, the website, as I understand it, is thetoxinsolution.com.
Well, thanks for the invitation to speak with you today. I'm delighted, and I've been a long-time admirer of your work, your book.
Well, thanks very much. It's mutual. Let me go right to some of the questions I tweeted that you were going to be on, and got a series of questions from the people who are subscribers to that tweet list. One of the things you say in the book, I think, is that toxins are a major cause of many of our diseases. What percent of diseases do you think are directly caused by toxins, and what percent are made worse if you looked at all of the chronic diseases we have?
Well, that, of course, is the key question. I think most people don't realize that only 20% of disease is due to genetics. All the rest is due to nutrition, toxins, and lifestyle. So about 2 years ago for my journal, Integrative Medicine, I was looking at various toxins and trying to determine what the increased risk of disease is for specific diseases, for specific toxins. And I start seeing just surprising numbers. So, for example, people at the top 10% exposure with organochlorine pesticides, these are things that come in our food, and I look at the risk of diabetes, it was 10 times higher, not small numbers. So I just went through and started looking at disease after disease after disease, and I believe the research is quite clear that at least 50% of chronic disease is due to environmental toxins.
Now, let me go and challenge. I'm going to challenge you. The book is so wonderful, and Dr. Pizzarno's knowledge so deep that it will be fun to challenge him, and that's what I'm going to do. So we know from the Nurses' Health Study and the Men's Health Study and the Swedish Men's Study and the Medicare database studies that if people do six things, that is, they avoid tobacco, they do 30 minutes of physical activity a day, they eat basically a Mediterranean diet, they have a stress management technique, they get their immunizations up to date, and they sleep more than 6.5 hours a night, that they can prevent 83% in the nurses, young nurses, 90% in the old nurses, 87% in the Swedish men, a little over 80% in the Medicare database of chronic disease development. Wouldn't that say that, obviously I've included a toxin, tobacco, would that say, and would you argue, and so that it is lifestyle more than toxins, or is it that those lifestyles help us get rid of and prevent toxin exposures?
Yeah, great example. And also, I think that what you just described pretty effectively validates what I just said. So let's look at what you said. First off, cigarette smoking. So you look at people smoking cigarettes, of course, again, all of those carcinogens. But most people don't realize that cigarette smoke is high in cadmium and it's also high in arsenic. So independent of the lung cancer-inducing effect of cigarette smoking, it's causing all kinds of trouble. So, for example, osteoporosis. Everybody thinks about osteoporosis as being due to not enough vitamin D, not enough calcium. And if they're really knowledgeable about nutrition, they'll say vitamin K2 as well. Those are all valid. But a study was done here in Seattle at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center, and they determined that 20% of osteoporosis was due to cadmium, okay? Not vitamin D, not calcium, it's due to cadmium toxicity. So that's just cigarette smoking. Then you look at exercise. So it turns out that one of the really effective ways of getting toxins out of the body is to sweat. There's a researcher by the name of Stephen Zenuas up in Edmonton, Alberta, who's done this great research with taking people. He's put them in saunas, had them sweating a lot, then takes the sweat and looks at what's in it, and it's full of toxic chemicals and metals. So anybody's exercising to the point where they're sweating, they are detoxifying. Then you talk about the Mediterranean-type diet. One of the key issues with the Mediterranean-type diet that makes it so helpful is high in fiber. You might think, well, what has fiber got to do with toxicity? Well, it turns out that the major way that the body gets rid of most of the chemical toxins is by breaking down the liver and dumping them into the gut. Now, our bodies are expecting there to be a lot of fiber in the gut because as we evolved as a species, we consumed 100 to 150 grams of fiber a day. Well, nowadays, in the standard American diet, it's about 15 grams of fiber a day. So you go on a Mediterranean-type diet, you have more fiber. Because if you don't have enough fiber, you have something called intrahepatic recirculation, which you know. And that is, in order to maintain certain nutrients, the body will absorb some of what's been excreted by the liver. And the expectation is fiber will bind the bad stuff, and the good stuff will be there to reabsorb. If there's no fiber there, then we reabsorb the toxins, many of the toxins that the liver works hard to get rid of. So you look at those factors that were recommended, they all lead to significantly decreased toxic load. Now, I want to be clear. Independently of that, the Mediterranean-type diets rich in nutrients, exercise is good for us, so getting enough sleep is important. These are all important. And one of the reasons that these six factors you described work so well is they decrease toxic load.
Let's go and talk about one of the other things that is brought up by the book, is that these toxins seem to accumulate as we get older. Now, I'm going to ask you some questions you answer in the book, so forgive me for sounding so obvious, but I want our listeners to know this. Why do toxins accumulate with age?
Yeah, that's a very good point. So what people need to realize is that the toxins that accumulate in the body are called by scientists persistent organic pollutants. So what these are is either new formation molecules that were created by scientists to have two specific purposes. Number one is have its desired biological or physical purpose. So, for example, a chemical produced to put in the chlorine or fill in so that the clothing won't come on fire. Okay. Then you look at things like the organophosphate pesticides that were designed to kill insects. Or then you look at things like the coating and Teflon. So they all designed to have a specific physical or biological purpose. But in addition, they were designed to be difficult to break down by biological processes. So they were designed so that our normal liver detox system do not function very well. So what happens is that, anyway, so you look at something like DDT, and as you know, DDT is banned 45 years ago. That's not good. But the problem is DDT is still in the environment, and once it gets into our bodies, the half-life for our liver to break down DDT is 10 years. So once it gets in, it's so hard to get rid of, and that's true of so many of these chemicals we're exposed to. Because once it gets into our bodies, it's almost impossible to get rid of, and it causes ongoing oxidative stress, poison membrane system, block insulin receptor sites from the cells. It causes all kinds of havoc.
So it's due to the long half-life in our body of the toxins. Now, let me go in and ask a couple more obvious questions. One of the things you ask, or one of the statements you make as the first two things one should do to go to a toxin-free environment are, let me ask you, what are the first two things you should do rather than my stating them? And then we'll go through.
As near as I can tell, after looking at it, a lot of research, of course, taking care of a lot of patients, is that at least 60% of the toxin comes to us in our food. And it comes to us in our food in basically two primary ways. Number one is when foods are grown with conventional fertilizers, all kinds of toxins end up in the food. A study was done when actually in Seattle where they looked at children who are eating Avanti grown food and comparing them to kids eating conventional grown food. And kids eating conventional grown food have 9 times higher levels of organophosphate pesticides in their bodies. Why is that important? Because organophosphate pesticides are neurological poison. Okay, sorry, we come from health foods for life. But the next area,
The first thing is to reduce the consumption of toxic contaminated food.
Yeah, the organic grown food, plain and simple. More organic food you eat, the better.
And the second thing?
The second thing is, how is the food stored? So food is stored in plastic that leaches chemicals into the body, and a clear example, one of the biggest problems is just GMOA. So, for example, if you look at a study that's done just published recently, where they had people consume 1 serving a day for a week of soup bought from the store in a can. Now, in this case, that would be Progresso lentil soup. I bring that up because that used to be one of my favorite soups. Anyway, so Progresso lentil soup, 1 serving a day for a week, increased the bisphenol A levels in the body by a factor of 12, or 12 times higher. You might say, well, why is that important? Well, the level I raised it to was 4 times higher than level known to double the risk of diabetes. So that's just one factor, eating canned food. Another example.
So the first thing is food, and the second thing I thought was to cut down on your use of, if you will, the healthcare products. In other words, the you call them HABAs. Which are the healthcare and personal hygiene products that contain toxins, and a lot, and to 1 to 2 products for men, and 2 to 3 products a day at most for women. Most men use twice as much as that, and most women use, in fact, 6 different health and beauty aids a day. So cutting down on those two is important.
Yes. So first factor was the organic food. Second factor is don't store food in plastic. And the third factor for the primary source of toxins, what are called HABAs or health and beauty aids. And what happens for the health and beauty aid is they all have fragrances. And the way you put a fragrance into a health and beauty aid, normally, or most manufacturers do, is it binds into something called phthalates. So phthalates make the fragrances soluble and stabilizes them, and we put some on our skin. Well, the problem is these phthalates are very, very problematic, and the biggest problem is that they bind to the insulin receptor sites on the cells so that sugar can't get into the cells. So sugar levels go up, the pancreas has to overproduce insulin, in fact, the one system in the body like you talked about in your book. You know, the pancreas has to overproduce insulin, get sugar into the cells. Well, you do that for 20 or 30 years, and you burn out the pancreas. You can't produce insulin, enough insulin anymore, and now you've got diabetes. So I'm telling
people. Now, the phthalates also, the phthalates, as I understand it, as well as PCBs, as well as BPA and BPS, mm-hmm. all are endocrine disruptors, which means your endocrine, for example, for guys, their testosterone doesn't work as well.
Yes, that is a great example. So as you know, for our testosterone to work properly, not only do our testes have to produce it, but then it has to bind to the cells in our body, you know, particularly muscles and such, to have the effect. Well, the phthalates, not only do they block the insulin receptor sites, they also block the testosterone receptor sites. So if I have a person like me where I don't use any health and beauty aid, which means on a hot day you better not stand too close to me, compare me to a person that took man, I can see them. Today, their phthalate levels in the body are 300 times higher. So we went from a situation where no problem to a situation where we're actually impairing testosterone's ability to work, and it's going to cause all kinds of problems with men. So as they get older, they lose muscle mass, they get more fat conversion, less sexual interest, less sexual capability. It all happens with phthalate exposure.
So the example you use is since men who use aftershave, cologne, deodorant, or body washes to make themselves sexy are actually decreasing their effective testosterone levels and thereby making themselves less manly. And so I do want to bring out now the question came from a listener is how much do you think those changes are causing the change in sexual orientation in our society. In other words, there are things that also affect the estrogen receptors similarly, and I guess they were saying the phthalates probably do both. And do you think that's responsible for any of the sexual orientation changes that are occurring in our society?
Yeah, I think it needs to be considered seriously. It turns out that many of these chemicals we're being exposed to, and this is really well demonstrated in the animal kingdom, and that is they tend to be estrogenic and they tend to block testosterone. So it's pretty clear that they, for animals who typically have higher dosages, like frogs and such, the data is very clear that we've significantly altered the sexual function and orientation of animals in the wild. So it would seem logical that this could affect humans as well, but we don't know until that's been studied more carefully.
Now, I want to get to two last questions that are of interest of mine. I didn't see in the book, but you talked a lot about the liver being a detoxifier. The liver of all animals is a detoxifier, and I say one of the worst foods you can possibly eat is, if you will, liver, because the animal, whatever has been given to the animal, whatever the animal is detoxified, is in their liver, and you will get a fair dose of it if you eat liver as a organ meat. Am I right there, or am I way off base?
That's a really good question. And, you know, honestly, it's been a controversial in the natural medicine field. There are a lot of people who do recommend that people take liver as a way of helping nourish the liver with all the known and unknown factors that are important. And there's an equal number of people who say, yeah, but wait a minute, the liver is where all the toxins concentrate, so why put more toxins into people? You know, it's an extremely good question. I don't have a good answer to that. Other than to say, if you are going to eat liver, make sure it's from an animal that was grown organically. Because if you're doing an animal that's grown normally, that liver is going to be full of pesticides and other toxins that are, the liver's having trouble to get rid of, so they build up there.
Now, the other thing I want to bring up is, one of the things you talk about is coconut oil. I want to bring up the fact that at least at NIH, when I was there, in the lab next to ours, they used coconut oil as a way of accelerating Alzheimer's disease and other inflammatory diseases of the nervous system, because coconut oil causes a breakdown in the blood-brain barrier, which prevents inflammatory mediators from getting across. So I want to caution that. I haven't seen data in humans, but at least in animals, the data was clear that you can use coconut oil to accelerate inflammatory diseases such as Alzheimer's and many mental dysfunctions of the brain, as you point out, and many toxic problems in the brain.
Yeah, I think that's another great question you asked, and I also think the answer is also a bit murky. I do know that coconut oil does have a bad reputation for a number of reasons, but having said that, I've also had to treat people with mitochondrial deficit, and coconut oil for people with mitochondrial problems works extremely well. I've got an autistic kid who you would not know was autistic, because once I figured out that a mitochondrial deficit, that's like his mitochondria, including what are called medium chain fatty acids, which get in coconut oil, you would not know this kid was autistic, like I told you. So if you stop taking his coconut oil and all his vitamins I'm giving him, he goes right back into autistic syndrome.
In any case, we have been talking with, as you can tell from that answer, someone very knowledgeable in the subject, Dr. Joseph Pizzorno, Pizzorno. The website, thetoxicsolution.com. The book, The Toxic Solution, an 8-week program to detox your life. It's not a simple program. He goes in depth. It is beautifully done. It is simple, if you will, but the data are solid and are very interesting in this book, how hidden poisons in the air, water, food, and products we use are destroying our health and what we can do to fix it. You heard the two solutions. The first two are eat food as pure as you can get it, and the second one is reduce the number of health and beauty aids you do. But there are a lot of really good points in this book, The Toxin Solution. It's a Harper One book. So it's available any place. Dr. Joseph Pizzorno, thanks very much for coming on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. This is podcast 836. We'll be back next week. Special guests coming up. I'm not even going to tell you, because I don't want you to just wait breathlessly for that show. Every Tuesday, we release a new podcast. Dr. Joseph Pizzarno, thanks very much for being on the show.
Great talk with you. Thank you.
Thank you. And Sonar, thanks again for great engineering, and thank you for listening. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, please download us, whether it's iHeart or RadioMD.com or ShareCare.com. Download us and rate us today. Thanks again for listening.